would you use your word this morning to change our hearts, that we would leave here not the same as we came. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Turn with me to James chapter 5, verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. Interesting passage that God landed us on this morning in lieu of the last few days of the Life of Faith Church. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? Maybe it would be easier to ask, is any of you not in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Interesting how powerful the words we sang this morning were in view of the trouble. that we've encountered. Anybody happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The power of a righteous man is powerful, or the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. Note he doesn't refer to him as prophet. He just refers to him as Elijah. He was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Let's pray together. Father, we rapidly come into your presence. You call us to boldly come into your presence. I fear at times that I am not consciously thinking of what it is that I have the privilege of doing, what we get to do, and that's talk to you. We live in a busy culture. We have ready access with all kinds of techno gadgets, and yet still there are moments when it is not possible to reach one another. It is always possible to talk to the living God. It is always true that you, Father, care for us, your children. The reality that you listen to us when we pray is a bit overwhelming. So please do, again, hear us. We long to understand what you want us to understand from James 5 today. It has much to say to us. So help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Quote, knowing that intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and the supreme call for all Christians today, I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray. Believing that prayer is the greatest contribution that our people can make in this critical hour, I humbly urge that we take time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, at noonday, at sundown, at midnight, all through the day. Let us all pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our pastors, our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ and redeeming love. For moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders, let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice. Robert E. Lee. Oh God, give us politicians like that. Talk to God. It fascinates me how many times as you travel the pages of Scripture, you end up dealing with this word prayer. Whether it's Paul praying or one of the other authors praying and sharing a prayer, or whether it's one of the authors of God's Word admonishing us to pray or teaching us how to pray. Here we are again. And some of you may think, well, he's just preaching a sermon he preached a few weeks ago because he said the same thing. Wrong. But right, because God's Word teaches us regularly, consistently, repeatedly to pray. Why is that?
Maybe because we're stubborn. Maybe because we're too cheaply entertained by something that would take us away and distract us from prayer. Maybe because we're not willing to do the hard discipline of prayer. I'm fascinated by how he uses these questions to call our attention to when we ought pray. See, it strikes me, why doesn't God just do what God knows is right to do? Why does he use prayer? Why does he call on me to pray? Is he sovereign? Yes, he's very much sovereign. Is he going to do what's right? Yes. Why pray? Because he told us to. God, why do you want us to pray? Why do you incorporate prayer into your sovereign will? What a fascinating God, by the way, who can be sovereignly in control of everything and yet incorporate my prayers and your prayers into his sovereign will and what he's doing. That's amazing to me. You try juggling that. And he calls us to pray. And I think that word relationship is somewhere in the midst of it. Do you know how he desires to hear from you? Think about that. The living God longs to hear you talk to him. I'm convinced that some of the things he allows us to go through and ordains in our lives are for the purpose of causing us to talk to him. We're sort of ho-hum about it on normal occasions, but interestingly enough, we get real serious about talking to God real quick when we encounter difficulty. When pray? He asks some questions that bear that out. I want to see if you qualify for any of those moments of prayer. The first question I want you to see is in the very first verse that we read, verse 13. Question number one, any of you in trouble? Like when expectation and reality are worlds apart? You ever encounter that? Like when your Christian world view meets the contemporary culture? Like when accidents happen? Hypothetically. Now let me just dwell there for a moment. I frankly am a little uncomfortable with the word accident, because that would indicate that God was busy and something caught him by surprise. Can I tell you that nothing that happened this weekend caught him by surprise? Nothing found him innocently standing off to the side hoping that things would turn out differently, and his hands were tied to do anything different. I want you to know that he was in the midst of everything you encountered this week and last week and the week before. Well, then why? I don't know. Are you in trouble, struggling, suffering? Like when two become one, but they're still kind of two? And you have discussions? Like when personal convictions meet job expectations or descriptions, and the two aren't the same. Or like when your sin nature meets temptation. Anybody in trouble? Or like when your wife hypothetically calls and says, not can we have a cat, but she says, can we have a kitty? And hypothetically I respond and say, that's not fair to talk to me like that on the telephone. And so now Yoshi lives at our house. I qualify. I'm in trouble. Are you in trouble? Are you struggling? Are you encountering the suffering of the things that you've encountered? I know you are. I heard the sweetness of your heart when you sang, when you played, when you led us in music. Qualification number one is in that question in terms of when do we pray. Are you in trouble? If you're in trouble, you qualify to pray. Well, I wasn't in trouble when I came in here, but now I'm beginning to wonder. Well, maybe you're happy, and you don't owe an apology for that. See, sometimes when others might struggle and we encounter something joyous or happy, we tend to not want to rejoice in that. And that's not what I hear Him saying here in verse 13. Same verse. Is anybody happy? Are you happy? Question number two. Are you in trouble, number one? Are you happy? Like when there's more money than month. Woohoo!
Say, I'm not happy.
Like when your child graduates from school. And you were happy, and then came the bill, and you were in trouble. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because one moment there's something to be happy about and the next moment you're in trouble. Are you happy? Like when your spouse clears surgery? Or like when your boss walks in and says, you know, I want to give you a raise. Are you happy? Like when a friend comes to know Jesus? Or like when you rise victoriously from the swamp, hypothetically speaking? Are you happy? Do you have something that you have seen God do? Are you in trouble? Are you happy? I hope you're not happy, you're in trouble. But he goes on in verse 14 and asks a third question, and this is it. Maybe you're not in trouble. Maybe you're not happy. Is any of you sick? And this is where he dwells when he talks about this thing, prayer, called prayer. But I really think it's in the context of talking to God. Any of you sick? He, the person sick, ought to call the elders. Now you've heard me brag about your elders, and I will continue to do so. And you know why I will? Not because of them, but because of God in them. Because I know their willingness to pray with you. I've watched them do it. I got a call yesterday as I was caring for my sick wife after I brought her home from the hospital. I got a call from an elder who was at another hospital with Trevor. I know these men. And I know their desire to serve Christ by serving His body. And they will pray for you. Call them. That's what it says. Call the elders of the church. Anointing you as they're anointing you to pray for you. And I've seen it multiple times. And so what he says here is, if the elders pray for you, you will always, under all circumstances, instantly be made well. That's not the context of this passage, nor is it the context of Scripture, nor is it the actual practice of the men that God used to pen the Scriptures. Unfortunately, when Adam fell, so did our health. And physically, we will all die unless Christ comes back. Our bodies will eventually fail. There are times when God will heal instantly. But as you'll see in a moment, there are times when He doesn't choose to do it instantly. For which I don't understand. He calls on us to call on the elders to pray. To anoint with oil and to pray. And then he goes and he broadens it. Confess, be honest with each other and pray for each other. It's interesting that sometimes sin is... physical health is directly connected to our sin. Other times it's not. You remember the disciples. Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither. But it is interesting, the spiritual aspect that's tied together with the sickness of which he speaks. And how serious it is for us to pray for one another. Are you sick? Are you weak? Are you infirm? Those are the questions that he seems to outline for us when we ought to pray, when we're in trouble, when we're happy, when we're sick. My guess is you're somewhere in the middle of that. And it may vary from moment to moment. So what do I want you to do? I want you to talk to your God. That's what he says to do. I want you to tell him about your trouble. Sometimes we're guilty of saying, God, as we come to worship you, we want to put everything aside and focus on you. Can I just encourage you to bring everything with you? He can handle it. Are you in trouble? You need to bring it to him. Talk to him. Ask for his wisdom. See, it's interesting that James begins with Christians who are apparently going through very difficult times. Go back to chapter 1. And he challenges us to pray and ask God for wisdom. Seek his strength. If there's sin, you need to admit it to him. You need to confess it to him. You need to talk to your God. You need to share your trouble with him. He can handle it way better than we can. I think sometimes he introduces trouble into our lives so that we will talk to him. Talk to your God. Secondly, I want you to praise your God. I can't say enough about Faith Church. My experience is I've never seen a church that sings like you guys do. That encourages my heart. I love it. I confess there are times I want to stop singing and come right up here. Not to lead you in song, don't panic, but to listen. I love to hear you sing. Because you don't mumble, and you don't sing joyful, joyful, we adore thee with your throne, as you said. No, you sing with your heart. And that's what James says to do. Are you happy? That's not only okay, that's a good thing. Is God at work? Rejoice in that. Thank him for even the small delights in life. I don't know if I can thank him for cats yet. I'm working on it. Talk to your God. Sorry, cat lovers. Praise your God. Thirdly, ask the elders to pray. God may choose to bless your elders with the privilege of watching you be healed instantaneously. Not because of their giftedness, but because God. See, I think what God wants you to understand is it's not so much about the elders as it is about the God of the elders. That's why he doesn't say, go find the elders who have the gift of healing. He says, go get your elders. They're just ordinary men like Elijah. But God will use them. And he may gift the elders with the precious gift of seeing you healed instantly. But he may not. He may just carry you through the difficulty until the day that He completely heals you. Cindy and I stood in line at a funeral home in Lexington Thursday night to speak with the family of Pamela Gaylord. Her husband was grateful for your prayers, Faith Church. He wanted you to know these words. Pamela did not lose her battle with cancer. That's what he said, standing in line. Cancer lost its battle with Pamela. He said, the cancer is dead. Pamela is very much alive. This isn't a cheap semantics cop-out. This is what Almighty God does in answer to the prayers of His men, His elders. He may choose to use those men to heal you instantly, and that's His prerogative. He may choose to sustain you through what you currently struggle, and He may choose not to make you completely well until the day you meet Him face to face. And for some reason, He has chosen to use elders in that capacity. Don't steal that privilege from these elders. Ask them to pray for you. Talk to your God. Praise your God. Ask the elders to pray. Praise and prayer are the language of relationship with your living God. Trouble, circumstances, and sickness teach us that we are ordinary people and He is an incredible God. He knows what it takes to turn our lips toward Him in prayer, and He desperately desires you to talk to Him. And when we encounter those things, I hear Him say loudly and clearly, you are ordinary. I am incredible. I want you to see that. I want you to understand how awesome I am and that I'm for you and that I love you. And one day you and I will understand in greater capacity all that we encountered and understand that there were no accidents, that He was right here with us in the midst of it, and it will all make sense. I promise you, not much of it makes much sense to me right now. Every once in a while, a glimpse. But I'm convinced just a glimpse. Trouble, circumstances, and sickness teach not only that we're ordinary and He's incredible, they teach that we're dependent. It's the way God created us. But they also teach us that He's dependable. He desperately wants you to know how solid He is in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this circumstance, in the midst of this difficulty, in the midst of this valley. He wants you to know He is immovable. And I'm not sure I would get it any other way. Sir George Adam Smith tells how he and his guide were climbing the Weisshorn in the Swiss Alps. It was stormy and they were making their climb on the sheltered side of the peak. When they reached the summit, they were filled with the exhilaration. Sir George forgot about the fierce winds and he leapt up and he was nearly blown off the edge of the glacier. Or blown off the edge of the mountain to the glacier below. The guide grabbed hold of him and exclaimed, "On your knees, sir! You are safe here, only on your knees." Boy, that's appropriate. You and I are only safe in the trouble, in the good times, and in sickness. We're only safe on our knees. Pray with me. Father, Your word is truth. Would You comfort these sweet sheep of Yours with the truth of Your word? Would you teach us to continue in prayer? We so desperately want to see prayer work, and we are so impatient when it doesn't work as fast as we think it should work, or it doesn't accomplish what we think it should accomplish, and we fail to see what is happening as you develop a relationship with us, as you teach us that we are ordinary and you are incredible, as you teach us that we are dependent and you are dependable. God, would you show your love to these, your sheep? Would you cause us to pray, to praise, and to call the elders to pray for us? I thank you for this body, Father. And Daddy, you know what they've been through in the last few days and few weeks. And as I scan this congregation, the burden is heavy. But you can handle it. So teach us all that you want us to know as we labor. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to praise. Teach us how to assemble and pray for one another, that we might see a little more of your face, that you might be exposed in greater ways. So help us, loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone, 'cause in my distress He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. 'Cause I cannot bear my burdens alone. So I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. My heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world of victory to win. Jesus, and help. Jesus alone. Please stand.